Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Taylor.
Guess what?
What?
We're going to be doing a virtual live show again.
Do I have to wear pants?
Nope.
Thank God I hate wearing pants. It's been hot.
October 15th, we are going to be doing a virtual live show talking about the movie Super Troopers with our good friend Max Zaleski of Without a Cause Wrestling.
He's not our height twin.
He is definitely not our height twin. He is a great guy, though. So you're going to want to check this out. Head to cultofsplat.com/events or moment.co/cultofsplat to get your tickets and join us.
It's only $5. What else are you going to do on a Saturday night? You know, Taylor, sometimes when, you know, podcasting and working and life just gets in the way, I can't think about what I'm going to flambé or chiffonade or anything like that. So, you know, recently I decided to look into HelloFresh because every week they send me however many meals I want because, you know, sometimes I'm just lazy and I don't want to think about meal prep. And, you know, they send great meals. And again, it's prepackaged, easy to make. And on top of all that, it's cheap with inflation. It's cheaper than going to the store and buying ingredients for two meals right now. So, have you ever used HelloFresh?
I have, because I hate to cook. I don't even know what chiffonade or whatever the hell you just said even means. What I love about HelloFresh is that they send you exactly what you need. If they say you need cabbage, then they send you cabbage. They say you need just this much honey, then they send you just that much honey. It's always perfectly portioned, exactly what you need, every time.
It's amazing. I absolutely love HelloFresh, and it saves my ass from week to week.
Exactly. So if you're like me and you hate to cook, or if you're like Kevin and you love to cook, but you just flat out don't have time, check out HelloFresh. If you use our special link to sign up, which is cultofsplat.com/HelloFresh, you can get 16 free meals. 16.
That's so many.
Not only that, you also get free shipping on your first box and 3 surprise gifts. Head to cultofsplat.com/HelloFresh and sign up today. Of Splat. I am your host, Taylor Bartle, joined once again by my co-host, Kevin Nesgoda.
Yo, what's up?
Not a lot. It feels like I've been like it's been forever since I've talked to you.
Yeah, likewise. I'm just like, you've been traveling, I've been working, multiple jobs. It sucks right now on this end.
Yeah, it was so nice when you were unemployed and we could just text back and forth all day.
I know, it was, wasn't it?
Now I got to wait like 35 to 40 minutes for an answer.
I'm constantly in meetings all day now. And yeah, and then I get, you know, some time after work to do work and then, you know, hop over and work on my startup, which has officially launched. And yeah, now I'm trying to get money with that. And fuck, we're just like filled up with meetings there. So time doesn't exist and neither does sleep at this moment.
As you can tell by the bags
under my eyes. Well, our listeners can't. Hey, Canada, what's up? Thanks for getting us in your top 20.
Yeah, shout out to Canada for getting us up those iTunes charts. And of course, South Africa always coming through. Rest of the world, where are you at?
Yeah. Where are you at? You know, I do love Canada more than America. So, yeah. Thank you, Canada.
Yeah, make sure you're going to Apple Podcasts and giving us 5-star reviews and just, you know, putting whatever in the text box, anything you want. It really doesn't matter. But it would help us out a lot.
Say you love Canada more than America, too.
Or say you love America more than Canada. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
It matters to me.
Okay. So today, once again, we are headed to college. We are going down south, down towards Kevin, because we are headed to Orange County.
Oh, that's a little too far south for my liking.
From 2002, directed by Jake Kasdan or Kasdan. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Kasdan? Koozie?
It's definitely not Koozer.
No, it's not Steve Kuser.
It's not Steve Kuser. Directed Jumanji, The Next Level, and Welcome to the Jungle.
Walk Hard,
the new Doogie Howser spinoff series.
Oh shit, I forgot that existed.
Looks like some New Girl episodes. Oh, you saw in Freaks and Geeks. So yeah, he's a working man. He's done some stuff.
He's been
written by Mike White, who of course just did Dead Man on Campus that we just talked about.
Wow, he's also in this movie. Looking at his picture for the first time.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Tomato meter score for this one is 47%. So not terrible. Still under the threshold. Just under that 50-50 mark. Yeah. Audience score 61%, which is bewildering to me.
That's a little low, it feels like.
That's what I think. This movie introduced the world to Colin Hanks. And I was also one of Jack Black's first films.
Definitely post The Cable Guy, though.
Yes. And I think maybe post School of Rock.
I think School of Rock came Not sure. after.
You might be right.
Yes.
But the critics' consensus. Okay. The critics' consensus says smarter than the average teen movie, but a little on the unmemorable side. Which I mean, obviously we're going to get into things, but I don't know how you can call this movie unmemorable. Although I will say, I did forget how much I'd love this movie.
When did you watch it? Again?
Yesterday.
Okay.
Let's see. IMDb synopsis. And this one's actually pretty good. Check this out. A guidance counselor mistakenly sends out the wrong transcripts to Stanford University under the name of an overachieving high schooler.
Oh, no. That's actually pretty good.
It's also... Out
like half the movie, but...
I would say like 80% of the movie.
But it's like, you know, the inciting incident of where the movie takes off.
Right. That's like man lights match holds dynamite. It's like, wait a minute.
Then what happens?
Right.
Does he still hold on to the dynamite or does he throw it?
Well, there's only one way to find out, and that's to dive right in.
Let's do it.
All right. So, like I said, this is the movie that introduced the world to Colin Hanks, of course, the son of Tom Hanks. And as I always do, I'm going to talk about happy endings because Colin Hanks was on Happy Endings on the episode where Dave made his own food truck and was selling whore's bath cocktails out of it, and Colin Hanks became his celebrity friend.
I love that episode. Yeah,
it's a good one. And he's got his little crony Beans, I think was his name, who was always trying to find him Coke.
Yep. God, it's such a good episode. Well, they're all good episodes, but this was a really good one.
And when he was talking about doing Entourage, the video game.
Was there actually an Entourage video game?
No!
I didn't think so.
What would that even
you
be?
Never know. I was just thinking the same thing. How would you make an Entourage video game? Do you play as Vince? Do you play at E?
I would say you play as Vince and you just like go around and just bang girls.
Without ever looking at them.
Yeah. Okay, so Colin Hanks plays Sean Brumder, who when the movie starts, he is writing to Dr. Marcus Skinner at Stanford University. And it's so funny because he's writing this letter and he says, you know, my name is Sean Brumford. I am from a place called Orange County. And this is not the first time. This is not the first time that they act like no one has heard of Orange County.
It's not like he's from Utah.
they act like Orange County is some like podunk wasteland in the middle of nowhere. Orange County is where Disneyland is.
Yeah, and it's also where all the rich Republicans in California live.
They have two professional sports teams.
Oh yeah, they do. Can we really call them sport, you know, professional at this point though?
I mean, technically, but Fuck the Angels.
That's right.
So, Sean loves to surf, play beach volleyball with his friends, and basically just hang out and party on the beach.
Sounds like a typical OC kid.
Yeah, he talks about how he's really good at school, but he gets easily distracted. And we see him studying in the library, and his two like stoner bros come up, and they're like, or three actually at this point, they come up and they're like, dude, there's 20-foot waves. We got to go. And he's like, well, you know, what about third period? And they're like, 20-footers, bro, screw your period.
It's a tropical storm. Let's do this.
I love that he says, screw your period.
Yeah.
But so him and his buddies go to Laguna to catch some major tsunami waves. And their friend Lonnie, who I don't know this actor's name, but he was on Grounded for Life. He was also on a show called Reaper with Ray Wise.
Oh, yeah.
These waves are just like, they're literally like tsunami waves. And he's just like, you know, YOLO, runs out into the water.
Reminds me of the end of Point Break.
As this wave is 30 feet over his head, he's just like, righteous.
And then he did.
And then he dies. At the funeral, Sean is like, Lonnie died doing what he loved, eating foam in a major wipeout.
He didn't like living. He just liked wiping out.
Yeah, apparently. So Sean goes and he meditates on the beach, and he's just kind of, you know, feeling that there's got to be more to life than this. And that's when he finds a copy of Marcus Skinner's book called Straightjacket. And that's why he's writing to Dr. Skinner now. And he says, you know, your book totally captured what it's like to be a teenager, the excitement, the confusion, the horniness. And he's like,
yeah,
sometimes I laugh so hard. I thought I was going to puke and die. And like, it's this cheesy footage of Colin Hanks reading this book, just going, ah! It's just this super cornball laugh. And then he's like, other times I cried. I don't know if you can call it a montage, because but it's only like three clips.
That's true. It's like a mini-tage.
Mintage?
A mintage? A Mentos?
But he says, other times I cried. And again, just like super cornball, tears streaming down his face. And he's like, ah! And his girlfriend comes up and tries to talk to him. He's like, it's just so sad. And I think that's probably the first line in this movie that I quote a lot.
It's just so sad.
It's just the way you have to say it that way. Or it's just so sad.
I can't do it like you.
But he read that book 52 times over the summer and decided that he wants to be a writer.
At that point, you think you would memorize it and you wouldn't have to read it anymore.
52 times in a summer? That's insane.
You should have that memorized.
That's like multiple times a week. That's like four times a week.
Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a hell of a lot. But so
that's
he starts
more
writing.
Than I read.
That's definitely more than I read.
I wasn't going to say it.
He starts writing all day and all night. He sells his surfboard. Meanwhile, his bros are just like, let's get lit and jump off the roof of my house.
All right.
Like, these are those kind of guys.
So they hang out with their buddies from Grind a few episodes back.
These guys, they would fit in with the guys from Grind, with the super duper skate team. Yes.
Yes, easily.
But Sean goes on to say, I have the sneaking suspicion that my English teacher is illiterate, and his English teacher is played by Mike White. And he hands him back his paper and he says, I noticed you used a lot of big words. Nice. Good for you. It was a little long, so I didn't read the whole thing, but who cares? Because I gave you an A.
God, I wish my English teacher did that.
He then says, my brother Lance is perpetually recovering from the night before. His brother Lance is played by Jack Black. His girlfriend Ashley, who is played by Sissy Spacek's daughter, which I don't think I realized
before. That's who
that
is. I didn't know that until now.
But he says that she is so positive, it's hard to take her seriously. And she's reading his story and she's like, it's like really good. Like, I think it could be a movie.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm curious how an author would respond to that if you actually told them that.
Because, like, depends, I don't feel like that's money the end game.
Want. Well, yeah. I feel if they wanted their book to become a movie, they would write a screenplay.
Right. Not have it butchered by a screenplay artist guy. Screenwriter. That's what I meant.
Screenplay artist guy. That's how they're in the credits, yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
But he says Orange County isn't the best environment for an aspiring writer, and so that's why he wants to go to Stanford to work with Dr. Skinner. Meanwhile, his college guidance counselor, played by Lily Tomlin, of Magic School Bus fame.
Love a good Magic School Bus.
I can't remember the teacher's name. I'm totally blanking.
Miss Frizzle.
Miss Frizzle, yes. I was going to say Frinkle, and I knew that wasn't right. But she's looking over his transcript, and she says, oh, yes, you are a shoo-in. You are absolutely going to go to Berkeley. And Sean's like, Stanford. She's like, yes, Stanford. Stanford is where you're going.
Good school.
Stanford or Berkeley?
Both.
That's true, yeah. So opening credits to the tune of Stabbing by Cake, a very 2000s song.
I was going to say, this is a very throwback and very good soundtrack, except for one song that is so overplayed, but we'll get to that.
The song is perfect for the opening credits, too, because like the lyrics are adjectives on a typewriter. He moves his words like a prize fighter.
Love Social Distortion.
No.
No, it story wasn't of my Social Distortion.
It was
Cake.
Oh,
my God. Oh, you're right.
They do briefly play Story of My Life by Social Distortion.
Yeah, that was like the song that they played during the montage.
Yes. But so then Sean goes to the bathroom and he goes to open the door and he hits something and it's Lance laying in the bathroom floor. And he's just like, what are you doing laying on the floor? And he's like, oh, my parole officer scored. My parole officer scored. Called. I need some of your urine.
He scored.
He's like, can I score some of your piss? That's where scored came in. I was just reading ahead.
Yeah.
Sean's stepdad, Bob, is this old guy in a wheelchair. We don't really know what's wrong with him, but he like starts having kind of like breathing problems. And Sean's just like, did you feed Bob his pills?
Feed him and, the pills.
His mom, played by the incomparable Catherine O'Hara.
I love
God, I love her so much. Oh, she's so good in just everything. Moira Rose.
Don't even attempt to do her accent from that.
The bebe. let's see. Their housekeeper, Lupe, quits because she's yelling at Catherine O'Hara. And Catherine O'Hara's just like, you know, you stole my Palm Pilot. You did.
Racist much.
Sean, in Spanish, offers to double her pay. And she's like, time and a half on weekends. And he's like, see. And so she's like, and meanwhile, Catherine O'Hara's in the background going, yeah, it's over.
Yeah, over your budget.
Finally, she agrees to come back, but just for Sean, because she likes him. But she's like, you know, you keep her away from me.
Catherine O'Hara is a mess in this.
Yeah, she is. She's a hot mess. But Sean tells her, look, the mail's going to be coming. I'm expecting a letter from Stanford, so please keep an eye out for it. And she starts getting real emotional because, you know, empty nester. Although she's still got Lance.
He's never leaving home.
Why would he?
He goes to school. He goes to school and he runs into his stoner bros, which apparently their names are Arlo and Chad, but they don't say that until literally the end of the movie that I recall. I don't remember ever hearing them say their names until the very end.
Yeah. I was like, oh, they do have names.
Yeah. Arlo and Chad, which of course one of them is Chad.
Chad. You always have to have a Chad in a surfing movie. Stoner guy.
Yeah. But they're like, dude, it's been 1 year since Lonnie died. Like, we should do something. We should pull a killer prank. We should jump off something. And Chad's like, yeah, or blow something up.
Logical conclusions.
Yeah, that's you know, how you honor your friend's memory.
Yeah, so if you died, what would you want me to blow up for you in your honor?
Whoever murdered me.
Deal.
Avenge me.
I shall avenge your death. What if it's me? Do I blow myself up?
Yes.
Okay. That's easy. I assume.
Harry Carey.
I've never blown anything up.
Let's see. Where was I? Da, 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 da. Oh, they decide they're going to have a surf in his memory, although Sean doesn't surf anymore. And Chad is like, yeah, Sean doesn't surf or skate or pick his butt.
Well, that's probably good, especially in public.
At least in public, yeah.
Yeah.
Sean and Ashley go to class. I'm not sure what class this is, but Chevy Chase is the teacher.
Good for him.
And Ashley talks about how she wants to save these seagulls that were affected by an oil spill. And Chevy Chase is like, you know, fine, but this is the last one. After this, we let all sick and endangered animals just die.
Thank God.
And so then they start talking about graduation speakers. And Sean suggests Toni Morrison, who won the Nobel Prize, who I think just fairly recently passed away, actually.
Yeah, I think a couple years back.
But Chevy Chase is like, Dana, didn't you say you have a cousin who's friends with Britney Spears? And this girl, Dana, is like, yeah, best friends.
Friends.
So then they go to English class again, and the teacher holds up a copy of Romeo and Juliet, and he's like, who comes to mind when you think of Romeo and Juliet?
Claire Danes.
Yes, Claire Danes. Who else?
Leo.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yes, he was also in that movie. What you may not know is there was someone else who was involved in that movie, and in some ways, he's just as famous as Leonardo DiCaprio. His name is William Shakespeare.
Who that bitch?
I love that he says involved in that movie.
Yeah, he didn't do anything else. He penned a Broadway play that eventually became the Hollywood mega blockbuster.
And then he says, some of the greatest movies are based on his plays. Hamlet, West Side Story, The Talented Mr. Ripley, Waterworld, Gladiator, Chocolat.
Hold up. I have some questions.
Yeah, I'm not sure of your accuracy there, Mr. White.
Yeah, I don't think Taming of the Shrew became Waterworld.
No, it became 10 Things I Hate About You.
That makes sense.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tanya, who was Lonnie's girlfriend, is saying, you know, she's like, Mr. White. I don't remember the teacher's actual name, but she's like, Mr. White, my boyfriend died. It might have been. She's like, but my boyfriend died, so I don't know that I am emotionally ready for Romeo and Juliet. And they're just like, your boyfriend died a year ago. Like, stop. Cut the shit.
Yeah. Cut the shit, Tony. Oh, wait.
All of a sudden, Cindy Sanders from Freaks and Geeks runs in. And she's like, Tanya, you got into Stanford. And so Tanya starts jumping up and down and the song starts playing. And so Sean is just like, well, if Tanya can get into Stanford, then surely I can get into Stanford.
Anybody. They're just letting anybody in at Stanford right now.
Yeah. So he calls Lance. And I love this back and forth. He calls Lance. Remember, this is Jack Black. And remember, he's perpetually recovering from the night before. And he's like, Lance, it's Sean. I need you to do me a favor. Lance goes, who are you looking for? He says, it's Sean. Sean! Pick up the phone! Oh, he's not here. Hangs up. So Sean calls back and he's like, Lance, listen, I just need you to check the mail. And Lance is like, okay, do I have to turn on your computer?
What? Why?
I mean, maybe he thought email. I don't know.
But yeah, that could
Sean's
be.
Like, Sean's like, just go to the front door. The mail will be in the mailbox.
Oh.
And Lance is like, he's like bouncing off the walls. He's having trouble walking straight. And he's just like, all right, but you owe me one, buddy.
For walking 8 feet.
Yeah. He opens the door and he's like, yeah, it's here. So Sean bolts home. Lance is there watching SpongeBob. Sean's like, where's the mail? Are you sitting on it? Which, that's a line I say to my girlfriend constantly because she's constantly sitting on the remote.
Can she not feel that?
Apparently not. Not until it all of a sudden opens stars, because that's what it opens every time she leans on it. The one thing we don't have.
Well, son of a bitch.
Because we have a Roku, you know, it has the button. Netflix, Hulu, something else, and stars buttons, and she always manages to find the stars button with her ass.
When we first got Dawkins, he would jump on our remote, and every time it would go to like Comcast's smooth jazz station. Like every time, she's like, "Oh, guess Dawkins is a fan of smooth jazz." I mean, who isn't?
Me. Every time I hear the word smooth jazz, and my mind immediately goes to Careless Whisper.
Not Kenny G?
I don't even know if Careless Whisper applies as smooth jazz, but that's where my mind goes.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd... God damn, now that song's going to be stuck in my head forever.
I don't know a Kenny G song. All I know is na 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 na.
You know Kenny G.
Okay, so yeah, Sean's like, are you sitting on it? And then he realizes that it's under Bob's wheelchair. So he like pushes Bob's chair back, pushes him into the bookshelf. This vase or something like falls and shatters on Bob's head.
Poor Bob.
Poor Bob. I feel so sorry for Bob this whole movie.
Bob is treated like trash this entire movie.
Yeah, and by all accounts, he's a good dude.
Yeah, we don't know. He's like rich, powerful, maybe, but he's not like an asshole as far as we know.
As long as he gets his pills.
Yeah, and he doesn't die. He's good.
Because, like, you know, there's a part later that we'll get to where he, like, seems like a frightening person. But then, like, later in the movie, once he gets his pills, he's very calm and very
jovial.
Polite. Yeah. Bob seems like
a
great guy.
He cares about everybody around him.
Justice for Bob.
Yeah, make that a shirt.
So he opens the letter and it says, we regret to inform you that your application to Stanford University was not accepted.
Oh.
And he's like flipping it back and forth, looking at the back. He's like, this can't be right. And Lance is just like, that's how he laughs.
It was such a scary laugh. It kind of chilled me a little bit.
Yeah. But then he delivers probably my favorite line in the movie. Dude, you're overreacting. Look at me. I didn't get into college and check me out. I'm kick-ass.
That would scare me to go to anywhere.
As someone who didn't go to college, I use that a lot.
Nice. Hey, you're doing pretty well for yourself, though.
Yeah, I'm a successful podcaster. Look at me.
Check me out, Mom.
I'm kick-ass. But Sean says, you know, I have to go to college. And they're like, why? And he says, because that's what you do after high school. And this is the first moment where Colin Hanks almost gets into that Tom Hanks shriek. But he's not quite there yet.
It's close.
But so mom walks in and Sean says something terrible has happened. And she's like, is Bob dead? Did something break? She seems more worried about something breaking than if Bob is dead.
Not my boss.
But so, Sean tells her he didn't get in. And she says, well, you know, you'll just have to go somewhere closer. You can stay here with Lance and Bob and me.
Aww.
And that's when he's just he's like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
I can totally relate to that.
So he goes back to Lily Tomlin and she's like, okay. And are you a student here? He's like, I'm Sean Brumder. I'm class president.
Who?
And she's like, okay, well, where else did you apply? And he's like, nowhere. You said I was a shoo-in. And she's like, not even a safety school? And he's like, you said shoo-in. And she's looking at his transcript and she says, no, your GPA is 2.5 and SATs are 940. No, that's low.
Jesus.
He's like, 940? He's like, no, I had a 1520. And he goes
Damn,
and looks at the transcript. I don't even know what's good. What is good?
Basically anything above 1100 is like, upper echelon. Like 1600 is perfect. So 1520.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's really good then. But he looks at the transcript and he's like, no, this is not my transcript. This is Shane Brainerd's. And she's like, and you are? He's like, Shane Brumder. And she's just like, He's just like, you sent in the wrong transcript? And then we see Brainerd guy, who is a stoner burnout. He's like, goes up to his friends who are just smoking behind a door. And he's like, you guys, I got into Stanford. I applied as a joke and they let me in. I'm freaking out. And Lily Tomlin is just like, you know, you're screeching at me. And Sean says, because you are a moron. And he like puts his hands on her shoulders. So she knees him in the nuts.
Really hard to.
She needs your nuts.
Down he goes.
And she takes off running and she's like, code red, call 911, code red, call 911. This is when Kevin's favorite song starts playing for the first time. It is Butterfly by Crazy Town.
You know, the world's a better place.
You were into this song at the time, though.
Oh, yeah. I karaoke'd it once.
Everybody's into this song. Yeah, everybody was into this song when it first came out.
It was. And then they overplayed it like in those first 6 months. Like, this is the greatest song ever made. Jesus Christ, quit playing this fucking song. 20 years later, oh my God, I still hate this fucking song.
Yeah, like you said, they overplay it just in this movie.
Yeah, I think they play it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. But so we see Dana, who of course is cousins with Britney Spears' is cousins with Britney Spears' best friend. And she's like, guys, I got into Yale.
Well, that makes sense. Yale lets a lot of stupid people in.
Let's just say Dana does not seem like an Ivy League type.
No, she might qualify for cosmetology school, maybe straight to waitressing, but not one of those places that involves her like roller skating. She would die. She couldn't do two things at once. I'm not even sure she can walk and carry food.
Yeah. So Sean decides he's going to go to his dad's because his dad is filthy rich and he's going to ask him to make a big donation to Stanford to help him get in.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
So he goes inside and he's got this little half brother that runs up to him. He's just like, who are you? He's like, I'm Sean. I'm your brother. He's like, I want my pootie.
What the fuck is a pootie?
I think it's a pacifier.
Oh, I just assumed he shot on the ground and he wanted his turd back. He seems like a kid who would be into that.
Yeah. This kid's mom is none other than Leslie Mann.
A very young and hot Leslie Mann.
Indeed.
Oh my God, she's still hot.
Also indeed. But she starts yelling at the little kid. She's like, I don't like your attitude. And the kid yells back, I don't like your attitude.
It's good parenting, Leslie Mann.
So Sean's dad is John Lithgow, who is one of the best actors of this or any generation.
Oh, phenomenal. He's like probably in my top five, easy.
Yeah, he's great. Maybe All-Star?
I think there's a chance that he will be an All-Star.
I know of at least two off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't looked to see if this is on his Rotten Tomatoes, but it should be. He's a big enough role.
Yeah, he has multiple speaking parts and kind of, you know, a big part at the end too.
Yeah. But he's on the phone with somebody, we don't know who, but he's just like, if you do this, I will eat your face. But so Sean comes in and tells his dad that he wants to be a writer. And he's just like, a writer? What do you have to write about? You're not oppressed. You're not gay.
Ooh.
And Sean's like, not all writers are gay, Dad. And he's like, well, they're all poor. And Sean's like, Tom Clancy, Stephen King, Anne Rice. And John Lithgow goes, three people in the history of literature.
Nailed it.
Like, those are the only three people who ever made money writing books.
Well, you know, while they are alive. I mean, go back to this, you know, Shakespeare guy. Did he make a lot of money when he was alive? Yeah, he probably did.
He probably wrote the Bible too. He wrote a lot of plays.
A lot.
But Sean tells his dad, I don't care about making money. And this just like does not compute with John Lithgow.
It almost breaks him.
He's like, I built this empire, which I don't fully know what he does. I think maybe real estate.
I think so. Because he said he owned half of Irvine.
Yeah. But he says, you know, I've built this empire and I want to leave it to you. And Sean's just like, well, I'm not interested. I want to be a writer. And Lithgow says, well, but before this, you wanted to be a pro surfer. So it's kind of hard to take you seriously.
Yeah, it sounded like me when I was like a senior in high school. I wanted to be a pro wrestler. I wanted to be a rock star. Anything that wasn't a real job is what I wanted to do.
Play in the NBA.
Yeah. I wanted to be a doctor, but then I went on a ride along and I saw blood and I was like, nope.
So Sean tells him, you know what? I don't need your money. Basically tells him to fuck off. Takes off. John Lithgow looks out the window and he sees Leslie Mann flirting with the gardener. He's got a leaf blower and she's like rubbing it with her feet.
And the dude's like 60 and he's like balding and he's kind of a fat guy too.
Yeah. I put in my note, toes on the hose.
And he's like, what the goddamn?
John Lithgow goes, what the fuck?
Gotta keep the PG-13 rating. Reel it in. I'm not the Trinity killer yet. And yes, this movie is on his Rotten Tomatoes. And also, I want to know how the fuck Cliffhanger is not rotten. It's a 67%.
That's a good question. Do you see All-Star status in his future?
No, actually, no.
No? Only two?
Yeah, only two.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, we could pull some strings.
We've got enough movies we actually want to watch first.
You know what? I think we know. Okay, there's one I haven't put on the list yet that I'm going to put on the list, and it will get him to All-Star status.
Okay. You have to tell me off mic what it is.
Yeah. It also stars Leslie Mann, if that helps.
No, it doesn't. Okay. So Sean goes back outside, and Ashley has rescued this dog that was rescued this dog that was out on the PCH, which is the Pacific Coast Highway.
We call it the PCH here.
And the dog, she, you know, puts it in Sean's car, and the dog starts just eating his interior. And I just, I so badly wanted Colin Hanks to go, not the car, don't eat the car.
I was hoping he would. Like, I heard, like, as soon as that happened, like, I heard Tom Hanks' voice in my head, like, saying that line.
That would have been such a perfect homage, and it would have been. Only we would have gotten.
Yeah. There have been four people in this world, and we would be half of them.
And the other ones were in the movie.
Exactly. It would have been great if there was like Tom Hanks in the background, like Clint, and he just shrugs after the line's delivered.
And the other just two are Colin cheeseball. And Tom Hanks.
Yes.
So, Ashley tells Sean, she says, you know how you told me that every night you would pray that you get into Stanford? Well, I got to admit, every night I would pray that you didn't. Or no, she says, last night I prayed that you wouldn't. And he's like, why would you do that? She's like, well, I didn't think it would work, but, you know, now you can go to OCU with me. I'm like, there's no OCU.
There is not. There's no universities in Orange County.
There's UC Irvine.
Yeah, I said no. Oh, real universities.
But there's definitely not an Orange County University.
No, I think UC Irvine is the biggest one there.
But Ashley says, you know, to make it up to him, she's going to talk to Tanya because Tanya's grandfather is on the board at Stanford. So she goes and she talks to Tanya, and initially she's just like, I'm not going to waste my grandfather's time. So, you know, deuces. But
fuck off.
Ashley goes and talks to her in private, and she says, you know, I would do anything for Sean, even if that means breaking a promise to a friend. And Tanya's just like, what are you talking about? And Ashley's just like, Halloween, Dana's little brother.
Oh,
and
God.
We see Tanya hooking up with Dana's little brother, who's like 14.
If that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping early high school, so this is not really creepy.
Regardless, it's really creepy.
It's true.
But Tanya's just like, everybody knows about that. And she's like, or Ashley is like, okay, but they don't know about Lonnie's memorial. And we see her hanging out with Arlo and Chad, and they're all just drinking. And Arlo's just, or I think Tanya says it first. She's like, I miss Lonnie. And Arlo's like, yeah, I miss Lonnie too. And so she starts kissing Arlo. And Chad's just like, yeah, man. I miss Lonnie too, bro. And she turns and starts making out with Chad. And so they're having the old holy triumvirate there.
Yeah. The Eiffel Tower probably happened at some point.
Yeah, the Golden Gate. But and then Ashley says, you know, and what about prom night? And we see Tanya just puking into a toilet, and this janitor walks by. And it's this, like, old woman. And Tanya just starts making out with her.
Right after she got done puking in the stall.
Yeah!
That's nasty. I hope the janitor had some gum.
No shit. So when we cut back to real time, Tanya is now already on the phone. She's like, hi, Grammy. It's me, Tanya. Is Grandpa there? So Ashley tells Sean, you know, good news. He and his wife are going to come by your house at 5. And Sean's just like, wait, my house? Do you know who lives at my house? So they go back to Sean's house, and Lupe is wrapping Bob's head because he's bleeding from the vase landing on his head.
Profusely.
Yeah.
It's like Ric Flair 5 minutes into a title match.
Catherine O'Hara's like, that's right, just cover his whole head.
There's probably a skull fracture, but we'll deal with that later. He's 90.
So Sean comes in and he's like, Mom, you might want to put on something more, you know. She's like, what? He tells her, you know, these very important people are coming. And she says, Sean, you can't expect me to just drop everything that I'm doing just to entertain some strangers. And he's like, drop what? What were you doing? And I love, she just goes,
And she's like, I can't think of a goddamn thing I was doing.
Sean's like, every time I have to rely on you, you start acting like a total lunatic. And she's like, oh, so now I'm a bad mother?
Yeah.
She's like, I have sacrificed everything for you. I sacrificed Damien for you. He was beautiful. Who's Damien? And Serbian. Her tennis instructor. He was beautiful. Right. And Serbian. And when your father left, I almost married him. And if I had, we'd be living in a condo, clipping coupons and eating lunch meat. But instead, I married Bob. I had sex with Bob 4 times for you.
For you.
You know, at that point, I would just be like, you know, Mom, our relationship just can end here. Because you put an image into my head that's never going to leave. And but I'm never going to want to be naked again. I am going to shower in jean shorts for the rest of my life.
But Sean's just like, money can't buy happiness, Mom. And she's like, oh, grow up. Yes, it can. And he says, you and Dad both have money and you're miserable. And she like pipes up and she's like, did he say that? Did he say that he's miserable?
Please tell me he's sad.
But so Sean says, can we just have 1 hour? 1 hour with no nervous breakdowns and no big scenes and no Meryl Streep impressions.
I'd like to see Catherine O'Hara do some Meryl Streep impressions, actually.
You know? Yeah. But she's like, okay, but I'm going to need a glass of wine. There's some Chardonnay in the fridge.
Yeah, some Chardonnay. What of it?
But so then Sean goes to Lance and he's like, Lance, I'm going to need you to just stay in your room. Lance is like, why? And Sean goes, because you're an embarrassment. And Lance goes, oh, okay.
Okay. That makes sense. I see no lies here.
But so Tanya's grandpa and his wife show up. God, I don't know these
grandpa,
actors' names,
I think,
but I wish I did.
Was Gary Marshall.
Gary Marshall and damn it, I don't remember her name. She was in the Addams Family movies.
Dana Ivey is her real name.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I even knew that. But they come in and Catherine O'Hara comes down the stairs and she's like, hello!
Hello!
Already hammered on Chardonnay.
Must be a strong Chardonnay.
And she like goes to introduce herself and burps right in the middle of it.
Sounds
and so
right.
They're sitting on the couch and they're having this conversation. And Catherine O'Hara is just like, you know, the last few years have been hard. I love the way she delivers that, where she's just like, ah, you don't want to hear about it. Yeah. Ah, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you anyway.
She's like, I helped my former husband start his business, and then, you know, he starts screwing around. He left me for this 20-year-old. I walked in at them in a hotel in La Jolla.
LaToya Jackson was there. It was really freaky.
Apparently it was, because apparently she had him naked and handcuffed to the bed.
No, he's one of those guys.
When she says this, you see Sean just, his head just drops.
It's over.
Like, oh, God damn
I'm
it.
I'm never going to Stanford.
But Catherine O'Hara is like, you know, and then I remarried and this new one starts falling apart. It's just one shitstorm after another. And then all of a sudden Arlo and Chad arrive. And they like step in the door and they're speaking at full volume saying, you know, in Lonnie's memory, we're going to go push his board into the ocean. Chad's like, yeah, or blow it up. And Sean's like, guys, look, I would love to do that with you, but I've got some very important people here right now. So, and they're like, oh, more important than us? More Are important you- than Lonnie?
Do you think you're better than me?
They're like, this is like his birthday, bro. Like his death birthday.
It's such Arlo's a stoner like, line.
Oh, I know, but I love it. Arlo's like, sorry we intruded on your little tea party. If you need us, we'll be out in the van picking each other's butts. Or I guess Chad says that. Yeah. Chad says, if you need us, we'll be out in the van picking each other's butts. Arlo's like, yeah. And Chad goes, naked. And Arlo goes, huh?
So something switched on for Chad during the three-way.
It cracks me up that picking each other's butts is okay for Arlo.
Yeah.
But doing it naked is a bridge too far.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? You can do it over the clothes, but not underneath.
Yeah. No, that's
got a hairy ass or something. Yeah, that's way too weird.
And that I don't know how many of my friends know that I'm referencing this when I say that. There are often times where like my friends will say something and I'll just go naked.
What?
But so what's the one thing missing that could make this afternoon even more of a disaster?
Jack Black in his underwear?
Jack Black in his tidy whities.
Oh, no.
He comes out and he's just like, hey, has anyone seen my piss? He's like, if I don't get that, I'm going to be in real trouble. And Mrs. I didn't write down their names. Tanya's grandmother.
Gatner.
Yeah,
Mrs. Gatner. Really weird last names in this movie.
Yeah, ones I've never heard before.
Durkett. Gantner, Herbert, English Brainerd. Teacher. Yeah.
But she had a glass of wine, and so she goes to take a drink of her wine, but she actually lifts up the little cup of piss.
And it's funny, you can see the cup of piss on the table through the entire scene, and it's like capped the entire time until now.
Oh, really? I've never noticed that.
I picked it up for the first time today. I'm like, oh, there's this piss. It's still by the table. That's great. Oh, at least the cap's on it, because I was thinking, oh, they'll probably knock it over and chaos will ensue. So she had to like pick that up, unscrew it, and just toss the cap away.
Luckily, she does not drink it. She notices it beforehand. And she like, you know, kind of freaks out and drops it, throws it. And Lance is just like, you know, oh, I need that. He's like, somebody has to fill this up or I'm going to jail. And Sean is just like, Lance, you need to get out of there. And Lance turns around and hucks the cup against the wall. And then Catherine O'Hara is like, I'd like to propose a toast. Propose a toast. She says, Sean has always been a wonderful son. And, you know, I just want him to be happy. And then, like, she starts taking a drink and she just goes, I'm going to be all alone.
It's like my mom.
Suddenly there's this pounding on the glass screen door and it's Bob. He's outside just like, ah! Or he's inside. They're outside at this point. He's just like, ah, yeah. Screaming and pounding on the glass door. John's just like, Mom, you have to feed Bob his pills.
Not have him take the pills. You got to hand feed it to him.
So Sean goes to Lance and he's like, Lance, where are Bob's pain pills? And Lance is like, first he does this cartwheel over his bed, which is just classic Jack Black.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's see. Pain pills are yellow. They're in the Excedrin bottle. And Sean's yellow. Like, no. I need. He's like, no, I need Bob's pain pills. He's like, not Excedrin. And Lance is like, yeah, that's a decoy. Yellow's painkillers goes in the Excedrin bottle. And he's like, okay. And he's like, no, wait, I sold the pain pills. He's like, yellow's not painkillers. It's, it's ecstasy.
Nice.
Then he gives him these other painkillers. God only knows what they are. He's like, here, just give him these. These will work. And then he drums on his belly. He's just like,
it's not the only movie he does this in either.
No, that's another one that's just classic Jack Black. But so what is it? Gantner?
Gantner.
So the Gantners are leaving. They've seen enough. Sean chases after him. Mr. Gantner is just like, look, your mom's a drunk. Your brother's a pervert. I don't know what's going on with this old guy. And Sean's just like, no, look, I love Bob. I would never do anything to hurt Bob. At this very moment, Bob's wheelchair rolls down the hill backwards and slams into the Gantner's car.
I was waiting for like one of the windows to explode out.
Yeah, or like his blood to like go all over the window or something.
Yeah. Bob's dead.
But Mr. Ganner says, he says, "You will never go to Stanford as long as I have a breath in my body. Watch your fingers." He like rolls up the windows and Sean's fingers just like slide as the window goes up. And Bob's like, "What happened?" And Sean goes, "You went for a ride, Bob." Sean then goes out to the pool and just falls face first into the pool.
It's over. Fuck it.
Yeah, I don't know if he's actively trying to commit suicide, but he's done.
If it happens, it happens.
Lance takes off his socks and then jumps in. But like the way he jumps in is he just like runs. It's like Wile E. Coyote when he's like running and then the ground is gone and he's still running.
Yeah, it's like, it's hard to explain, but it's so funny.
Yeah, it's fun to do. To just see how like how fast you can run your legs in midair before you hit the water.
I don't go very far.
But Lance tells him, you know, you should sue the school. No, you know what? You should just go to Stanford anyway. Say, I'm going here. Kiss my ass. And Sean's like, that's actually a good idea. Like, not that, though.
Not that one.
But if I go... yeah, not that, though. He's like, if I go to Stanford and talk to the dean of admissions and explain to him what happened, he'll have to let me in. And Lance is like, I can get you there in 3 hours.
That...
Orange County to Stanford. How long should that take?
About 8. Because it's...
But yeah, Lance is...
Yeah, it's about 6, 6.5 from where I am.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 3 hours California is insane.
Let's do that math. You continue talking. I will map it.
Okay. So Lance is driving in his Bronco and he's like speeding like crazy. He's swerving in and out of lanes. And he's like, I got a question for you. No, I got something to say. I got these ideas, man. Like, just so many ideas just burning through my skull. I want to make hats and shirts like Stussy. Did you know that Stussy started out making shirts for surfers in Hawaii? And now he's a millionaire. He parties in Hawaii.
All right. So their average speed would need to be 135 miles an hour to make it in 3 hours. That Bronco doesn't do 135.
And that's average.
Average.
Yeah. Then he's like, you know, I could make a shirt that just says like loser or I don't know, like talk to the hand.
All good ideas. Or they were originally done.
I love what he goes, or like a hat, like a big old hat that just goes pew.
Oh yeah. Like a Santa hat.
What does that mean?
I totally pictured Santa hat. Or one of those top hats that Marshall wears in How I Met Your Mother that kind of floats over a little bit.
The big funk hat?
The oversized one. Yeah, the funk hat.
I want to beat it with a bat.
The whole funk, nothing but the funk?
Yeah. This whole time, Lance is just talking a million miles a minute because who knows what drugs he's on.
All of them.
He's just like, you know, some little chumps go to college. Some little chumps stay home. Some little chumps have roast beef, but this little chump's going to go wee, wee, wee all the way to the biznank.
All right, then.
And Sean is just like cowering behind his fingers, you know, and Lance is just like, I love you. We don't say it enough. And it's true. And it's not the drugs.
Not the drugs.
But so they get to the dean of admissions office. They talk to the receptionist. And she's like, guys, it is 10:30 at night. The dean is not here. So they go to leave. Ashley's like freezing. So Lance gives her his coat. And Lance is like, all right. This won't stand. I'm gonna break in there and I'm gonna get a directory. He's like, I'm gonna go break in, come back with the directory. And so he takes off, and Ashley's like, he's probably listed. You could just call information.
Oh, what's the fun in that though?
It's too late. Lance is gone. He's already trying to climb in a window, which thusly breaks, and he falls into the office. Where the receptionist is, or no, she comes in, sorry. And she's just like, what are you doing? I love this scene so much.
Oh, it's so Lance good.
Lance goes, hey, cutie. She's like, what do you want? He says, question is, what do you want? She says, do you want me to call public safety? He says, do you want me to get naked and start the revolution? And she's just like stares at him, and he goes, I'll take that as a maybe.
That's not consent.
But so they go to the Dean of Admissions house, and he is played by the late, great Harold Ramis. R.I.P.
R.I.P. And probably future Hall of Famer in some aspect, I believe.
Maybe. I don't know. His movies might be too good.
Yeah, there's a lot of good Harold Ramis that we had to leave off the list. We'll have to go back and look.
For sure. Yeah. But he's going to Bali with his family. Like, his kids are running around acting all crazy. So he says, all right, you got 5 minutes. And so Sean is telling him, you know, they sent the wrong transcript. And so Ramis says, all right, well, show me your transcript. And Sean says, I left it in the car. I'll be right back. So Ashley reaches into the pocket of Lance's coat, and she pulls out all these pills. And the dean is like, oh, I have a splitting headache. Can I possibly have one of those?
Oh, no.
So she gives him a little yellow pill out of the Excedrin bottle.
Yellow. Different.
We see John Lithgow goes, and he visits Sean's house. Catherine O'Hara answers the door, and Lithgow goes, God, you look like a beast.
Oh, God damn, I love Lithgow.
She's like, what do you want? He's like, I need a drink. You got any beer, Coyote Ugly? So back at the Dean of Admissions house, he says, this is a great transcript, but you're too late. You missed the deadline. There's not really anything I can do.
But you're the Dean of Admissions.
Yeah. Meanwhile, his wife is yelling at him. So he's like, you know, hang on 1 second. Goes to see what she wants. Ashley's like, what is with your brother and aspirin? Like, does he get a lot of headaches or something? Back at the house, John Lithgow is sitting on the couch, and he's just like, what is this? What am I sitting in? And Catherine O'Hara goes, relax, it's just urine.
Okay.
And Lithgow's like, oh.
Probably Bob's.
And he's like,
it's fine.
No, it's Lance's.
Well, I know. I'm just assuming he thinks it's Bob's. It's an old guy.
He asks, he says, how's Bob? And she's just like, how's what's her face? And Lithgow's like, yeah, she's sleeping around. And Catherine O'Hara's just like trying not to laugh in his face. But he's like, I can't talk to her. She doesn't play tennis. She's not a good mother. She's not like you.
I'm a good
mother.
And
Catherine just like, oh, hey. Do you want another beer? Like, so she goes into the kitchen to get him another beer, and he follows her, and he says, look, sometimes I leave the office and at the end of the day, and I get in my car, and 15 minutes later, I'm here, parked in front of this house, and it's totally out of my way, and it's very annoying. I made a mistake. I'm tired of paying for it. I want you back. And she's just like, you are such an asshole. And then they start fucking in the kitchen.
Right against the fridge.
Yeah. So Ashley tells Sean that she gave the Dean of Admissions an Excedrin. And Sean is just like, Excedrin, okay, that's painkillers. We're okay. No, wait. Oh, no. We just gave the Dean of Admissions 3 hits of
MDMA.
Harold Ramis is coming back down the stairs, and he's like rubbing his chest and stomach, rubbing his sweater vest.
He's like, hey, this feels good.
And I think now might be a good time to head to the Splatterpiece Theater. All right, do you want to be the dean of admissions or do you want to be Sean? Actually, I want to be the dean of admissions. I'm taking the lead on this one.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. So, okay. Where? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Where were we?
Well, Mr. Durkett, to me, Stanford's not just a school. It's my entire reason for living. Every night, before I went to bed, I'd pray that I'd get into Stanford. And I worked really hard. And when all my friends were out there having fun, I stayed in and I studied.
That's good. That's what you have to do. 82%. Wait a second. I like you. What's your name?
Sean.
Sean. Sean, I like you. I do. I don't know why. I just like you.
Thanks.
I feel so good. Is it me or is it like hotter than hell in here?
Can you help me?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I can. No. There's no time. I'm leaving. Going to Bali. I'm going to Bali with my family. I love them so much. I need water or I need to lie down.
Hey, before you do that...
Sean, you're my same height. That is neat.
Yeah, it is. Hey, listen, let's go to your office and you can add my name to the acceptance list before you go to Bali.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah.
And scene.
So, they're on their way to his office. The dean tries to climb on top of Ashley. He's just like, "You are so beautiful." And she's just like, "Oh, no.
Oh, no. This is not consent.
Then, got it. Sean says something. I don't remember what it is, but then the dean starts trying to kiss him and climb on top of him while he's driving.
Yeah, the dean gets his kiss, too.
We see Lance and the receptionist. They are post-coitus, smoking a doob. And, you know, Lance is telling her what they're doing, that, you know, Sean wants to get on this list. And, or that he wants to go to the school there. And she says, "I hope he's on this list, because this is the list of people who are admitted for next year." And Lance is just like, "Oh, they didn't let him in, the jerks." And then he sets the list on fire. And this receptionist, just like so calmly, is just like, "Don't do that.
Don't do that, no."
But Lance is just like, "When I was little, I was a total pyro." And she's like, "I was too." And he puts the list in a garbage can right underneath the curtains. And the curtains start lighting up.
You know, basically, the same thing happened in my high school. Somebody got in trouble. They wanted to go in. They broke in, burned their like permanent record because, you know, it's not stored anywhere else, and burned the oldest high school building in the state to the ground.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so the curtains go up. There's on fire now. And she's just like, "Put that out, man." And Lance is just like, "Whoa." But so Sean, Ashley, and the dean arrive. And by this point, the entire building is just engulfed in flames. We see Lance and the receptionist walk out the front door in their undies. And then just kind of like walk off to the side.
Because where else are you going to go?
And
but off frame.
The fire. Yeah, exactly.
Because when you're off frame, you're not there. Sorry.
Out of sight, out of mind. The fire trucks arrive. And we are introduced to Fireman Ben Stiller.
I loved how Ben Stiller had like a cameo in just about every goddamn movie in the early 2000s.
Oh, I know. Kevin, for the first time ever, I think we need to go back to Splatterpiece Theater.
Back in time?
No, not back in time. We just go back to the theater and we do the gimmick again.
Oh, okay.
All right, so this time I will let you choose. Do you want to be Ben Stiller or do you want to be Jack Black Lance?
I will be Ben Stiller.
Okay, then first line is yours.
All right. Do me a favor, back that engine out. We got a knockdown. That's negatory, Julio. I need you to wedge that popper. Hey, what's your name?
Joe. John.
What is it?
Joe John.
Your name's Joe John?
Johnston. Johnston, Joe.
You want to tell me what happened here?
Just the fire. I don't know. I came by and I was checking out the fire.
Well, that lady, Mona, said that you two were in the building when the fire started.
Yeah, she's a liar, because I don't know her. So whatever she says is a lie, so...
You're saying you weren't in the building with that woman?
Not I. All right, she started it, all right? Because she was like, I hate my job, I'm gonna burn this mother down. I said, you better not. You better not.
She said it was an electrical fire.
It was. It was a total electrical fire. It was like the switches had sparks coming out and the sockets. It was like 4th of July.
Why aren't you wearing pants, Joe?
I tripped, and then I had to take them off to run faster out of the flames. I think I inhaled some smoke. Will you excuse me 1 second? I'll be right back.
We've got a sprinter. 5'5", no pants, unkempt, portly.
And scene.
I've been using the word unkempt a lot the past couple of days.
It's a good word.
It really is a good word.
I had to do a second Splatterpiece Theater just because I love the way that Jack Black delivers these lines, especially, you better not! You better not! That's a line I quote a lot.
You better not. You better not.
Also just, I hate my job. I'm going to burn this mother down.
Oh, I think I'm about 3 days away from that.
But so we see them. We see a police officer putting the dean of admissions in the back of the car. And he's just like gritting his teeth like he's peeking at this moment. And we hear the cop go, this guy thinks he's the dean of admissions.
I don't know why, but I just wanted him at that moment to start licking the window.
I thought he was gonna. Like, that felt like the thing to do, right?
Right, yeah. I think Super Troopers ruined us.
Yeah. Lance runs up to Sean and he's like, Sean, dude, it was so psychedelic. I light one match and the building blows up. And Sean's just like, dude, what is wrong with you? And he's like, I was just trying to help. I was high. And Sean's like, you're always high. You think you're going to start a t-shirt company? You can't even dress yourself.
Ouch.
Ouch, bro. Yeah. But so Ashley goes up to Sean and she says, you know, what is all this? She's like, you don't want to go to Stanford to study with Marcus Skinner. You want to run away from your family and your problems and me. And if you go to Stanford, that's the end of us. I don't think you realize that. And she says, if you think going here is the only way to be the person that you want to be, then I feel sorry for you.
Ouch.
Yeah. And then she just walks away. Damn. And bails on him. Meanwhile, Leslie Mann has shown up to pick up John Lithgow. She's got Jake is the little brother's name. He's in the back of the car. John Lithgow comes out wearing Catherine O'Hara's robe. And he's just like, look, I want a divorce. You can have the house. And she's like, well, what about Jake? He says, oh, I thought we could share custody. She's like, okay, great. Can you take him tonight? There's a new club in Newport that's supposed to be totally bitching. And of course, my brain just went, yeah, she's just going to get there, though, and have to yell at the doorman.
Yeah.
You're just a doorman. Doorman. Look at you, too. You're old. She's pregnant. Can't have a bunch of old pregnant bitches running around
here. Oh, such a good movie.
I love Craig Robinson.
Me, too. He's the best.
But yeah, back to this movie. She's like, I think this is a great idea. And then she like drives off and she's like, woo!
No kids! I'm single!
She's a woo girl.
Oh, man. Imagine if she put a cowboy hat on right at that moment.
Just a tiny one?
Just a tiny one.
Tiny cowboy hats would only be worn by tiny cowboys.
Boys.
But so Sean is just wandering around the campus, and he runs into Monica Keena.
Oh, hey.
Of Freddy versus Jason fame. She starts talking to her about the book she's reading, and she's like, oh, are you an English major? He says, no, I don't even go here. She's like, oh, just visiting? He's like, yeah, something like that.
I'd be like, why the fuck you here, kid?
Yeah. It's kind of weird, man. Stalking somebody, or?
You just like to hang out on college campuses?
But she's like, I'm going to a party. Do you want to come?
He's yeah, like, let's, yeah, you know, let's bring the creepy kid to the party.
But so they go to the party. She runs into her friends, one of which is Lizzie Kaplan.
I thought that was her.
And she's lock me up because I am horny.
Oh, yes, Lizzie Kaplan. I'm sure you are. I think the other one was Alexander Breckenridge, the maid from the first season.
No way.
Was
it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. She's uncredited, according to IMDb. She plays Anna. And I assume that Anna was the other girl with Lizzie Kaplan. Because it did look like Alexander Breckenridge.
You know, I thought she looked familiar, but I didn't get a good enough look at her to really kind of figure out who it was.
Oh, yeah, totally was her. Totally was her.
She is from one of the best episodes of Psych.
I don't think I've seen that episode.
Scary Sherry? You haven't seen Scary Sherry?
Dude, I've seen like one season of Psych. I need to like get my ass in gear and watch
What are you doing with your life?
I don't fucking know anymore. I'm tired.
You need to watch all of Psych, including the movies.
Yes, sir. I'll add it to my homework list.
Oh, man. Yeah, Psych is one of my favorite shows of all time.
I know, and I keep slagging off. I watch Ghost Adventures during the day and regret my
Kevin,
life.
Kevin, no!
I know! I'm but, stupid. So, I'm a moron.
It's a college party in 2002. So what song comes on the radio, Kevin?
I fucking hate my life.
Butterfly by Crazy Town.
Come, my lady. You're my sugar. Butterfly, baby. Fucking hate that song.
But the girls do not, because they have the same reaction to the boys in Grind when Young MC came on. They're just like, it's our song, dude!
At least the Young MC song is good.
But they have this whole choreographed dance break to this fucking song.
Everybody had a choreographed dance break to some song in the late 90s, early 2000s.
It's true.
I did not. Did you? You and your friends have a choreographed dance break?
No.
Yeah.
Me and my friends listened to ska. Like, if we had a choreographed dance break, it was skanking in a circle.
I was about to say, were you skanking in a circle around your bed? Did you hang out with some guy named Sammy?
All of a sudden the pie tasters come on and we're just like, it's our song!
Yeah!
Yeah, fucking Real Big Fish!
They never played Real Big Fish on the radio.
But Sean is just like, what the fuck am I doing here? And he like goes to leave, and suddenly he hears a familiar voice.
Oh, hey, I know that lady. Why did you that voice?
He hears the voice of Nat Faxon. Who else?
This was his first movie.
Ever?
Ever. He did TV before this, but this was his first movie.
I think if we went solely by IMDb credits and not Rotten Tomato credits, Nat Faxon would probably be like king of the cult of Splat.
Yeah, because he's already been in one, which was his next movie, actually chronologically, but like our third episode, Slackers. But he's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's in 7 more of our movies.
Seven more?
Seven more.
Not counting the two we've already done.
No. Oh, no, sorry. Seven altogether. So he's in five more.
Oh, okay. But are they on his Rotten Tomatoes?
That I don't know. It's on his IMDb. And that's just after a quick glance.
But yeah, Nat Faxon is chatting up Ashley. She's
kind of love Nat Faxon. You know,
she says, I'm from Orange County. And he's like, oh, I've heard of Orange County. It's like, yeah, everyone's heard of Orange County. There's an international airport.
And there's a big show going on right now called The OC.
Don't call it that.
Sorry, Tony.
That's another thing. Arrested Development took place in Orange County.
It did. And I think Nat Faxon was on an episode of The OC as well. No, somebody in this cast was on The OC. I can't remember who it was, though.
I don't know. But just to reiterate, Disneyland is in Orange County.
It's right in the heart of Orange County.
But Nat Faxon, much like Sean, wants to be a writer. But he is actually, he's a screenwriter. He's got this idea for a TV show. It's about vampires, ostensibly, but really it's about the reunification of Germany.
What the fuck?
Also, his name is fucking Kip.
Yeah. Kip Sop?
Scissor me, daddy ass!
No one's going to get that.
But Ashley is just like, oh, my boyfriend wants to be a writer. And he's just like, your boyfriend?
Hold on.
How did you not see that I was hitting on you?
Yeah, how dare you let me continue to hit on you?
But Sean has been up on the balcony at this point, eavesdropping, and he falls. And he's just like, oh, hey, Ashley, who's this guy? And he's like, oh, I'm Kip. And Ashley's just like, let's go inside, Kip. And I was like, oh, Sean, you messed up now. She's going to go spite fuck Kip.
Yeah. And spite fucking is the best fucking I've heard.
Oh, I was going to ask if you knew from experience, but
no. I've never been on that end.
I haven't that I know of.
To our exes who have are listening to this podcast, can you please let us know if we were a spy fuck? Thank you. Taylor will tell you the email later.
So Sean suddenly sees Marcus Skinner. Instead of chasing after his girlfriend who's going to go spite fuck Kip, he decides to chase down Marcus Skinner.
So what's the worst that could happen with Kip? He's wearing a turtleneck in the summer.
That's true. But Marcus Skinner is played by Kevin Kline. Sean chases him down and he's like, you're Marcus Skinner. He's like, yes. He says, you're a good writer.
Well, thanks.
Skinner's like, thank you. Bye.
See you, crazy
and
child.
Sean runs around in front of him and he says, I'm obsessed with you. And I was just waiting for Skinner to just like fucking mace him or something at this point. Like,
oh, that would have been so funny.
But he's like, not in a sexual way or a romantic way. Just your writing.
I just want to tie you to a bed and break your ankles.
But he says, you know, I'm a writer too. I sent you my story. My name is Sean Brumner. And he's like, oh, Orange County. He's like, you read it. He says, yeah, my only criticism is that you need an ending. And Sean's just like, yeah, I don't know how to end it. And Skinner's like, endings, well, you know, maybe I. Yeah, they are. You kind of just keep rambling until you figure it out. And then you're like, okay, yeah. Now I gotta go back and cut this.
There goes 95 pages that I wrote.
But Sean says, you know, I didn't get into Stanford, so I can't work with you. You know, I want to be a good writer, but I'm afraid that if I don't get out of Orange County, it's never going to happen. And Skinner tells him, you know, you don't have to worry about being a good writer. You are a good writer. And every good writer has a complicated relationship with the place he grew up, like Aberdeen or Enumclaw.
A lot of my writing does come back to Aberdeen, but not so much Enumclaw.
That's good.
It'd be kind of weird.
I'd worry what you'd write about.
Well, there's one thing that sticks out in my mind.
But Skinner tells Sean, what I took from your story is, even in a world where people can be superficial and stupid and selfish, there's still hope. And suddenly, a light bulb goes on in Sean's brain, and he takes off running.
Where's he going?
I assume he's going back to Ashley, but suddenly he hears, Sean! Sean! And this water bottle hits him in the side of the head. It's Lance, and he's just like, hey, we gotta go right now. We're going to Mexico, baby.
I can get there in 3 hours.
And Sean's just like, okay, we'll go, but we have to go get Ashley. And Lance is like, she's fine. Some dude will pick her up and give her a nice bed to sleep in. It's like, that's yeah. not comforting.
No, that's not what a boyfriend wants to hear about his girlfriend. Especially when she's with some douchebag named Kip right now.
Yeah. Lance is just like, we got to go or I'm going to prison. So you go get Ashley. I'll get the Bronco. And he like rolls down this hill, ass over tea kettle. Meanwhile, Kip is still talking to Ashley and just boring the shit out of her.
Like, how did he not close?
How are you back outside?
Yeah, you went inside. Why would you bring it back outside?
Fucking Kip.
Kip does not know how to close.
But the Bronco pulls up and Lance is like, Ashley, get in the Bronco. And she's like, Sean, I'm mad at you. And Kip like steps up and he's just like, why don't you leave the lady alone? Like somebody punch that guy.
Has Nat Faxon aged at all in the last 20 years? Because I don't think he has.
Dude, not much. Not much.
He looks like he's like 40 perpetually.
Yeah. But Lance is like, he starts like, you know, Cyrano Bergerac. Cyrano and Bergerac? No. What's the Shakespeare one?
Oh, fuck.
Right? Is it Cyrano and...
Pass. Can I pass? Where's the dude on the... Where's the third guy on the podcast from last week? What happened to him? Where's he at?
Yeah, really. But Lance is just like, you know, apologize to her. Sean's just like, I'm sorry.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Shit.
Sean's just like, I'm sorry. And Lance is just like, no, say it like you mean it. And so Sean's just like, Ashley, I am so sorry. I would never knowingly hurt you. And Lance is just like, tell her you love her. And Sean kind of pauses for a second. He's just like, I love you. I love you so much. And Lance is just like, okay, he loves you. You love him. Get in the Bronco.
We got to go.
And so they go and they peel out. And then Ashley and Sean are getting ready to fuck in the Bronco. But Lance is in the back seat.
Oh, no.
And Ashley's just like, you know, she's like, I don't want to do this. Like, Lance is right there. And Sean's just like, oh, don't worry about him. He's passed out. Watch this. Hey, Lance. Lance! Lana!
Lana! Danger zone!
But so they start going at it again, and then we see Lance, like, open one eye. Do the Eddie Guerrero.
I wouldn't watch my brother fuck.
Ugh. Gross.
No.
Cyrano de Bergerac, right? Is that the right
That's
thing?
That's it.
De Bergerac. That's what I was missing.
Yes.
Is that the right thing? Am I thinking of the right thing? That's the other question. Now that I have the name right, is that the right thing?
I believe so.
Man. Okay.
Yes, it is. Because they basically redid this with Steve Martin's Roxanne.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
See,
we got
Shakespeare. I brought it back around to Shakespeare, like from earlier in the podcast. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Bringing it back around.
the Chocolat guy.
He didn't write Chocolat.
Back at the house, we see John Lithgow. He's on the phone. He's negotiating with someone. He's like, "Look, here's how this works. You ask for something outrageous, like a new gymnasium, $40 million. I counter with $200,000 for a medicine ball. And I was like, a medicine? Like, one medicine ball?
A single? How does a medicine ball really cost $2,000?
But he says $200,000.
What kind of medicine ball is that?
The nicest one they have.
The one from the U.S. government to help us keep aliens under wraps? Wait.
Yeah, is it the nuclear medicine ball?
Yes.
But he's yelling on the phone. He's like, "You're not hearing me." But so the Bronco pulls up. Arlo and Chad are parked out front in their van. And Chad's just like, "Dude, Sean, you'll never guess what happened last night. Arlo professed his undying love for me." And Arlo's just like, "No, what happened was I woke up and Chad was fondling my," and Chad's like, "I lost my keys. I was looking for them."
Uh-huh.
And Sean's like, "Do you guys want to come inside?" And they're just like, "Okay. All right." Like, they had never thought about coming inside.
"We're just going to sit here in the van and chill."
But so they go inside and they see Lithgow and Catherine O'Hare there. And Lithgow's like, "Glad you guys are here. We need to tell you something. Last night, your mother and I, we And Lance is just like, "You banged mom?"
"You bone."
Lithgow's like, "That's not the word I would use, but yes, we came together."
Oh, I love the way that's so much worse. Black,
I love the way the Jack Black goes, it's like a little disgust, but also a little proud and a little happy.
It's like, "Yeah, my parents are getting back together, but no." I'm disgustedly happy at this moment in time.
Lithgow says, "You know, I donated money for a new admissions building at Stanford. Apparently the old one burned down."
I wonder how that happened.
And Catherine O'Hare is like, "We did it. We got you into Stanford." And Ashley, like, clearly, you know, remembering what she said earlier about how if you go to Stanford, it's over for us. She's just like, "Congratulations, Sean. That's really great.
I'm going to go call Kip. And I'm going to scissor him."
But Sean, you know, he's suddenly is like, "I thought about something. You know, if Faulkner had left the South, would he have written A Light in August? I don't need to go to Stanford to be a writer. All I need is the people who inspire me, like my family and my friends and you," being Ashley.
Aww.
He says, so cute. "I'm going to stay in Orange County." And so we see him writing to Skinner again. He says, "You know, I've learned that Orange County is the perfect environment for an aspiring writer. And so I left your book down by the beach, hoping that it'll inspire someone else."
Where Chris Farley promptly picked it up. No, that didn't happen.
No, what did happen was Chad and Arlo are getting ready to blow up Lonnie's board. They're arguing over who's going to get to light the fuse. And Sean grabs the board and takes off. They're like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm going surfing."
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
They should have done like a fist pump freeze frame.
Yeah.
All right. The band's back together.
Like I said earlier, I love this movie and I forgot how much I love this movie. I was watching it yesterday and I was laughing my ass off.
It's a good one.
Do you enjoy it as well, I take it?
I very much enjoyed it. Like, we rented it on DVD, like when it came out on DVD way back in the day. And I don't know why, but I've totally forgot about this movie. And I actually thought I hated it.
Really?
I watched it today, and today was the second time I ever watched it. Or the second time I've ever watched it. And I was like, what the fuck did I watch that I hated so much back in 2002?
Man, the thing is, I think so much of what makes it great is the deliveries.
Oh yeah, the deliveries are awesome.
The lines, regardless, like, yeah, the lines are funny, but the way they're delivered by Colin Hanks, Jack Black, Harold Ramis,
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
You look like a beast.
We're the same height. We're the same height. That is neat. I love saying that. I love saying that is neat.
That
is
neat.
Like upward inflection.
Next time we go to Disneyland and we're standing in line and there's somebody around our same height, you should do that to them and see the reaction.
Hey, buddy, you're my same height. That is neat.
I'd be like, whoa, you guys are height twins.
I'd just be like, yeah, man. Cool. Yeah.
Cool. I really don't have to go to Space Mountain this bad.
Do me a favor. Don't talk to me anymore.
Don't even look at me.
So let's just look at a couple of negative reviews. Nell Minow of Common Sense Media says, "Stupid movie pushes boundaries of PG-13."
How?
Does this guy write for the BYU paper? There's not really much of any swearing. There's
none. I don't even think they really say shit in this movie.
Yeah, like you see people making out. That's as far as it ever gets.
Right.
I'm not sure who Common Sense Media is, but that's.
It sounds like, you know, one of those people that, you know, Mitt Romney would donate money to or something.
Let's see. Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian. "This is mostly weak stuff with a timid and reactionary final message about how it's better to stay in your hometown rather than go for a big city college education." Hey, Peter, tell me you didn't understand the movie without telling me you didn't understand the movie. The point was not that you should stay in your hometown and not seek higher education. The point was to be happy where you are and to make the best of your situation.
How did he miss that? When, why is he doing movies?
Let's see. One more. Second generation. This is Mark Halverson from the Sacramento News and Review. "Second generation Hollywood wrestles with, but never truly pins down, this big-hearted, broad, and often flat comedy."
Go fuck yourself.
That was just a dumb one. I don't even know what is, like, what that. That was such a boomer review.
Yeah, provide some feedback there, boomer.
Yeah, like saying that, like, the second generation Hollywood, it's like, oh, because it's Tom Hanks's kid, we're supposed to like it or something. Like, fuck off. Let's see. Let's read one positive one too, shall we?
Yeah, I like this.
Just to end on a high note. Let's see. Danielle Salzman of Salzy at the Movies. "Orange County could have been a formulaic teen comedy, but Jake Kasdan and Mike White steer the ship in the right direction." Actually, no, this is the one I want to end on right here. Corey Woodruff, 615 Film, "A pristine coming-of-age tale and the exact movie every writer in their teens should watch before they go out and embark on the craft." I like that one. So, yeah, that's Orange County. I strongly recommend it. Like I said, I love it. If you love Colin Hanks or Jack Black or John Lithgow, like, these are comedy icons. I mean, Colin Hanks, calling him an icon is a little preemptive. But
he's got a bit to go.
Lithgow, Catherine O'Hara, they're legends. Jack Black is if he's not a legend yet, he's a legend in the making.
And there's goddamn Nate Faxon in this, or Nat Faxon.
And of course, Harold Ramis.
Yeah. The man, the myth, the legend, RIP.
If you like things that are good and funny, then go watch this movie. It's on Stars, of course.
Hey.
Or I think it's like $5 to rent, if that, like maybe $3 or $4.
I paid $3 for it.
Yeah. It's absolutely worth a rental, if not a purchase. Strong recommend from me. If you enjoy it, or if you just enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed our recap, like I said at the beginning, head over to Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars. If you can put something in the text box, it does help. It's not to feed our ego. It's to feed the algorithm and help us move up the charts. Tell us your favorite part of Orange County, the county, not the movie. Tell us what you would do on your buddy's death birthday. Tell us who your identical height twin is.
Yeah, because use their real name. We don't know them.
Unless we do. We might.
That'd be kind of weird. And there's a good chance. Yeah. We actually might.
If it's one of our friends doing the review, then we might know who the person. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
It's not Max. He's not our high twin.
He's definitely not our high twin, no. Yes, if you're listening somewhere else, just give a 5-star review real quick. And also make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Cult of Splat. You can also head to cultofsplat.com. We're going to be doing a virtual live show with our friend Max Zaleski.
From
Without a Cause Wrestling. We're going to be talking about the movie Super Troopers. Tickets are only $5. So go join us. It's on October 15th. cultofsplat.com/events or moment.co/cultofsplat to get tickets. You can also follow me. I'm on social media as The Taylor Bartle on Twitter and Instagram. Kevin, you are?
I am Kevin Neskoda on the Twitter, and I am Neskoda, D-U-H, on Instagram.
There you go. Hit us up. Love to hear from you. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, see ya.
Bye.